temple in which I was staying. It was the Man Mandir. Madhva Muni told me that there were exactly 256 Indian steps which you had to go in order to reach this temple, the Man Mandir. So my friend Radhanath Maharaj had come up, and he had invited me to come and give a lecture to these devotees from Mumbai who were all sitting around the Krishna Kund. Lemo, do you know this little kund or little pond? You know you have been to Vasana, and most probably you have gone around this parikrama. It's after you have gone through that village, Chitsoli, and then you climb a few steps up, and there's a gate, and you go through the gate, and then this Kevavan Kund or Krishna Kund is there. Then you pass it on the right side, and you go through this enchanted forest for maybe half an hour, and then you come through Jaipur Mandir. Doesn't ring a familiar note. Anyway, so I remember I came down these 256 steps, and I was very shy. I had not seen many people for a few weeks. I had only chanted and saw the devotees who cooked, and I had seen Gaurahari, but I had not talked much. I had just done this, it's called a vrata. You take a vow and you just stay a little bit for yourself. You cut all the connections to your usual activities. So I remember I came down the steps and I knew I soon would be around 3,000 or 4,000 people, and I was so shy, I didn't even want to look at anyone. I just was a hermit, you know, a hermit of the forest, of the mountains. Then I came down, and there was immediately a film camera, and Radhanath Maharaj said, you know, the Finnish TV has come to make a documentary. Oh, no. Then I remember I sat before this many people, you know, and then I remember I said to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm now in this part of my personality which only very few people know, the shy, reclusive monk who sits all day at one spot and sings your holy name. But with this personality, I cannot reach anyone. Can you please switch on my other personality? And I remember something happened. You have not yet seen this. It happens when I'm before many people. In the newspaper, the newspapers would always say the Mick Jagger of the Hare Krishna movement comes. That is the other side of Sachinandan Swami, a person who is very much outgoing, and Krishna switched on that personality, and I talked to the devotees, and then when everything was over, I was again in my little cave. And I felt, I had this question in my mind. Krishna, who am I? Am I that outgoing person who gives lectures and who starts projects and who gets on and who shapes his disciples by sometimes getting, you know, training them and teaching them if they want? And or am I that person who likes to live in a cave? I was thinking this question, and I got an answer from Krishna which really overwhelmed me. The answer is, I'm neither of these two personalities. Deep inside, there is a spiritual personality who is an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna in a totally different body than you can see. Each one of us, it's not something special in my case, but it's common to all of us. We may go through the different roles which we go in this life, but deep inside of us, there is a personality which may not yet have become fully mature. It's a personality who's full of light, full of enthusiasm, full of love, which is perfect, which is an eternal part of Krishna. And that personality, sometimes Krishna allows us in Vrindavan to see that personality. For a short moment, that personality looks at us and says, "When will you and me be one?" That was a wonderful thing I wanted to share with you. Yes, today I wanted to talk a little bit to all of you who are very close to my heart about a subject which will surprise you. I want to call your attention to a point to a subject which I call the longing of the soul. Now, may I ask you to give us the Croatian word for longing? Cezna, yes, that is what I want to talk about, and I've taken an old text here. It's from the computer. And I want to reach your attention. But before that, we should sing one song. Singing is so nice, isn't it? Thank you very much for bringing the dolak, isn't it? Madhavananda brought. Thank you. That's the instrument we play for Radha. Radha, yes. Now I think we will use the madanga.
I just wrote madanga because I told Maharaj like madanga, so I was thinking Madhavananda, bring dolak also.
Yeah, that was perfect for this song. We always sing a song before our talks, and I think you know it, Jai Radha Madhava. I mean, most of you know it. So nice to sing with you. It's almost like an orchestra, isn't it? We hear so much sound. Hari Bol. Have you heard about the poet Rumi? Some of you have heard. Rumi has written a poem, and two lines of the poem have touched, are very touching. He says, "And there comes a time for all of us when everything else becomes unimportant except the longing of our soul." Huh? Can you? There comes a time for all of us where everything else becomes unimportant except for the longing of the soul. For the beloved. Beloved, he means Krishna or God. I feel that is when real spiritual life can start. At the time when we really feel most important for my life is my relationship to the Beloved. Then we are awakening from the material dream. And we can really feel all this, what I'm dreaming about, my position in life, the way others look at me, my new frisura, and so on, is not so important as my relationship with the Beloved. Then we are ready for the experience of real love. Once there was a person called Yajnavalkya who had been very successful in his life. He had built a palace, and at that time in India he had two wives. This was acceptable. So after he had really, he was a minor ruler, like a little king. After he had lived his life, he called his two wives together. One was Maitri and the other was Gargi, as far as I remember. And he said, "My dear wives, this money and position doesn't give satisfaction to the soul. I'm leaving all this. I'm going to the Shumi. I'm going to the forest. I'm renouncing it. I'm giving this to you. You can have the palace. You can be like queens. You can have all the money. But I'm now going." So one wife, Gargi, said, "Wonderful." And the other wife, Maitri, said, "My dear husband, if all these things, palace, money, position, did not make you happy, how will it make us happy? I'm going with you to the forest." And Yajnavalkya said, "You are very close to my heart. Come with me." And both of so they left Gargi with a huge fortune and a huge wealth, and they just stayed in the forest. They built a simple straw hut next to a river, and they discussed. And from their discussions, a scripture was formed, which you can read today. It's called the Yajnavalkya Samhita, the Song of Yajnavalkya. And this big scripture is in the form of a dialogue. Maitri asks her learned husband questions. So I want to invite you to join Maitri and Yajnavalkya on one of their sessions, questions and answers. Maitri asked this question: "My dear husband, what are the two needs of every human being? And then Yajnavalkya smiles at his wife and says, "Explain your question further." "Well," says Maitri, "I want to know what are the two needs of every human being, which, when they are satisfied, leave no further desire in the heart of the human being. Do you understand this?" It's a little complicated. Who can translate this into Croatian language? the needs which you have satisfied, if they are satisfied, you have no other desires. It's actually...
Yeah.
You are satisfied. You say, enough, I can go to the forest now. And Yajnavalkya thinks for a moment and then he gives this answer. And please check if you can identify with the answer of Yajnavalkya. He says, the two needs of the human being are to be loved and to give love to others. When the human being experiences love, and when he can also express his love, he's satisfied. Olya nods her head. It sounds true. It has a ring of truth in it, isn't it? When you really, my dear devotees, when you really can experience love, and when you can also give your love, you need to give your love. If the person whom you want to give your love says, no, it's all right. You feel not satisfied. But if you can experience total love, and you can give your love totally. I don't mean limited. I mean totally. No? I don't mean calculated love. Oh, I give so much and then maybe I wait until I get something in return. No, I don't mean business love. I mean just freely flowing love. Then you are satisfied. Now this giving of love and receiving love can be unlimited only when we have an unlimited, when we have a partner who is unlimited, and that's Krishna. Since time immemorial, the love of God is considered to be the highest expression of love, and we see people who experience this, they don't have any further needs. I remember Franciscus of Assisi, who left everything behind, a rich home, and went into the wilderness to experience this free-flowing love. I remember he went on the marketplace and announced that I feel so much love for the Lord and I want to serve him. And then his father came running after him. Son, if you don't stop this nonsense and if you don't come home and become a businessman, then I will give you a lot of trouble. So this, when Franciscus heard this, he just put all the cloth down, shirt, you know, he had aristocratic cloth, even the pants, and he said, Father, this is for you. You have given this to me. Father, you are a person of the world, and what you have given me is from this world. But I really feel totally satisfied. I only want the Lord, and I renounce the world from this moment on. You know, in our modern civilization, we would think this person is crazy. But if you would go into his heart and you would look deeply, you would see here is a person who has found love and is ready to give up everything which is not giving him that experience. He is ready to give up the limited materialistic love and the limited materialistic life. You would find such a person if you look into his heart. So, but I don't think we all have to do what Franciscus of Assisi did and renounce our positions in this world. We can do a lot of service with this. I have heard from in Vrindavan about Lemo's wonderful project where our Barbara was also involved. It was a big theater gathering of the theater world, and you were able to introduce the concepts of reincarnation, of eternal soul, of the Supreme Lord, of Bhakti Yoga there, and that's wonderful. If you want to experience love of this highest amount of love, you don't necessarily need to renounce the world. It's even better if you can engage the world in the service of divinity and on the spiritual level. A much higher level than to say, no, I don't want this worldliness any longer, is to use the world in Krishna's service. And I was so happy when I heard how two of our devotees, Lemo and Barbara, were just making this wonderful theater event where they used their position and their language. You have to find the right language to do this, you know, to bring spirituality in this, yeah, in the world of art. That was a very good example. It's actually a higher stage to engage the world in spiritual life than to renounce it. It's much higher. So I was very proud of you. And I met my yogi friend and I told him, here, you have renounced the world, but I know two devotees in Zagreb. Where is Zagreb? Asked the yogi friend. It's somewhere in one corner of this world. They have engaged the world, and I told him that this is a higher state. And he was surprised to hear this. Good. But in all cases, if you want to experience divine love, either you do it as a yogi, as a renunciant, or you do it as a person who moves this world, who moves in the world and who has projects he realizes in this world which are spiritual. In either case, wherever you are, you need to wake up from this material, from this dream. And many of you here in Zagreb are still dreaming. The dream is that even when you are in spiritual life, you are doing it automatically. You are not doing it with a heart which is full of love. You are half dead, in other words. See, we are now talking about a high goal in bhakti. To give our love to God and to receive His love and to be in total ecstasy in this. And this does not work for people who are half dead. You have to learn, in other words, to spiritually open your heart to Krishna. You have to open your heart with two keys, faith and determination. And when you have opened your heart with the key of faith and you are determined to walk on the spiritual path, only then can you feel this ecstatic stream of love, and only then can you be satisfied. If you are not satisfied spiritually, you will try to satisfy yourself materially. But because you live in Croatia, you don't have enough money for your material desires. Hare Krishna. So better go the spiritual path. I'm talking very practically earlier. Anyways, you will see in the coming year, even the rich countries are getting in trouble. My rich father has just announced to the family that he had put all his money in this, you know, it's called money speculation, and he lost it all. Hare Krishna. And also in Berlin, Vanu Nandini, you may remember, welcome, Dobro Doshli. Haribo. Yasam Sahvalam Stoti Vidim. I'm happy to see you and grateful. Even you remember Klaus? Big Klaus, you know, big German Klaus, this was a multimillionaire. He also lost in this economic crisis almost everything, you know. He was so greedy for money and he put it all out and then he was lost. So, Haribo. I want to make the point, because it is a fact that we all become totally satisfied when we enter the circle of love, I think we should all look for our ways how we can do it. And for that we need to open our hearts. Many people who are in the Hare Krishna movement have closed hearts. They have closed their hearts to Krishna. They have decided, I'm going up to this limit, but I will not go further. And they look frustrated. You can see it in their faces. It's very easy to read a frustrated face. Only those who have learned to open their hearts with the keys of faith and determination, and who make their hearts ready for the divine exchange of love, can be satisfied people. Krishna consciousness is a true spiritual path, but it can only work if you are also spiritual, and if you are ready for the adventure of love. If you're not, if you are afraid, or if you are or if you are angry and frustrated with your life, or if you are just too attached to wrong things, then you won't be able to experience the divine promise. Now Krishna sees that many of us are really a little bit afraid for this spiritual adventure of ecstasy. And he is ready to help us. He is ready to give us support on our spiritual path. He's ready to take away our fear. He's ready to take away our frustrations with life. Just want to come closer to him. And I would like to introduce to you to this evening a person who was helped by Krishna. I think really, Lemo, this might be a person in the future where you can write a theater about. It's Draupadi. Draupadi was a very, very exalted lady. It's described that she was born from the fire. Her father, Draupada, had begged for divine children, and he had made a sacrifice. And during the sacrifice, there was a voice of God who told him, you will have two children, they will be born from the fire. imagine, or you have to have, you have a son born out of fire. That would be something special. So he did his sacrifice, and then one flame came up from the sacrificial altar, which transformed into the most beautiful of women, Draupadi, and she stepped from the altar and became his daughter. Now Draupadi became a queen, the queen of the Pandavas, and she became very close to Krishna. Once Krishna visited her in Hastinapur, and Draupadi was serving him fresh fruits. These fruits were not yet cut, and she had given Krishna a knife to cut the fruits. So Krishna took the knife and cut the fruit and also cut his finger. Draupadi was shocked, and she immediately took her beautiful sari, which was made with gold and silver ornaments on the side, and she just ripped the sari open, took and ruined her valuable cloth, and quickly gave it to Krishna and said, "Krishna, please use it as a bandage." So Krishna took this cloth from the sari of Draupadi. It was the sari which Draupadi had worn during her marriage. You know, it was a red sari, red like the blood, and which was full of gold and silver. It was just so extremely valuable. She had just ruined her marriage sari. Krishna took the sari, said, "Draupadi, for your present of a sari, I will pay you back. I will return this gift by giving you thousands of zaris." Krishna was very mysterious. After a few years, something traumatic happened to Draupadi. Her husband had just lost everything in a game of dice, gambling, and she was pulled into the public assembly like you would pull a slave. Her husband had become slaves to the king, and she was now pulled into the public assembly. And because she was the most beautiful lady of her times, an attempt was made to strip her naked in the public assembly. They took this one man who had the strength of 10,000 elephants, so he was not weak, pulled her sari down to see her naked beauty. This was done to humiliate her husbands who had become slaves. Draupadi tried to defend herself, but finally, when she could not defend herself, she threw her hands in the air and called, "Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, O Janardhan, O Madhusudan." At that moment, Krishna came to help her. Krishna could have come in many ways. He could have turned himself into a lion and attacked everyone. Or he could have made the elephants of Hastinapur, the town of elephants, crazy and chased them into the palace where Draupadi was attacked by this impossible man, who tried to make her naked. But Krishna chose another way. He took his hand, from his hand, 1,000 zaris were streaming forth. Because Krishna remembered his promise, "Draupadi, because you have given me your most valuable possession, your marriage sari, I will give you back thousands of saris to acknowledge your present. So Krishna did this because Draupadi had given her heart to him. And that is why Krishna was so, let me say, so personal and protected her just effortlessly with sari. This is a heart-to-heart exchange. Bhakti is all about this. It is entering the adventure, the wild adventure of love. But you need to open your heart, like Draupadi opened her heart to Krishna. This opening the heart to Krishna can be done in two ways. It can be done when you chant the divine mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you chant the mantra, but you need to learn to chant it in a very, very specific way. Don't chant it as Lemo or Barbara or Madhavananda or Almina and so on. You have to chant it as Amrita Keli. Let me explain it more carefully. If you chant the mantra while you are in the mind of I am a man of this world, I'm owning this particular company, or I'm a theater director, or I'm a Swami who's known in certain circles. If you chant it in the mood that, oh, today I have to make this phone call to my friends, and I have to arrange this, and I have to change my dollars into kunas, and so on and so forth, then you will not be able to chant properly. You have to chant as a pure soul. And that means you have to detach yourself from the material world for the time of your practice. You cannot allow that matter mixes into your chanting of the mantra, or that mud comes into transcendence. You have to just learn to create a spiritual space and enter that spiritual space. Now, where do you create a spiritual space? Oh yeah, that's in the consciousness. You have to detach yourself from a moment, from this role of a housewife, from the role of an earning mother who is doing a job in the court room or whatever. I'm just giving some examples, but it really means whatever you do. And you just understand, I'm going now, I'm stepping out of this material identification, and I'm going into a spiritual space. Do you understand this, Madhavananda? You have to stop thinking about yourself and worrying about yourself and thinking in this illusory concept. You have to just enter a sacred space in your consciousness, where you are naked, without illusions, without identifications, without ego, and from that space you can connect with the Lord. It's very important. Many who chant mantras don't know this, and their mantra chanting is something like this. I will now make a give you the pleasure of putting a loudspeaker on Sachinandan Swami's mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Oh my God, I have to see this doctor. I still have this pain in my body. Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Oh, why is everything moving so slow in Croatia? I told them 10 times. Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, and this project. Whew, I hope these people in Dubai can fulfill their promise and buy this ancient temple in India. Ram Ram Hari Hari. You see what is going on? I'm not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I'm staying on the mental platform, on the platform of the mind, and I'm not in spiritual life. I'm thinking of my own arrangements, of what I wish to do, and so on and so forth. Should I now amplify the mind of Sundarananda for you? Or of Olya? Or better even, of Gaurahari? You will hear some amazing things which you don't suspect. Or Nimai, oh, that will be wild Indian chutney, which we will hear. Leave this for a moment, Nityananda Kari. Leave Sarajevo for a moment. Enter the space of pure consciousness, where you just think, I'm an eternal soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, and I will now get in contact with him. Would you like to read this in an ancient text? Because I know some when I talk like this, some of the Hare Krishna devotees get slightly agitated with me. Here's an old text. We are all prisoners of illusion. And when we are prisoners, we become haunted by Maya. Haunted means like a ghost comes over us. When the jiva soul forgets his eternal position as the eternal servant of Krishna, who is perfect and pure, he becomes a slave of Maya. See, when you are entering the sacred space, you don't need to think about your mistakes or the little problems which you have. Understand, you are perfect and pure. You are an eternal soul. The living entity, which is an illusion, goes through many births. Sometimes he is born as a king. Sometimes as an ordinary citizen. Sometimes the soul is born as a brahmana, and sometimes as a laborer. Sometimes the soul experiences suffering, and sometimes he is happy. Sometimes he is born as an insect, especially mosquito. And sometimes he goes to heaven. Sometimes he comes down to this earth again. And sometimes he has to go to hell. Sometimes he is born as a demigod. Sometimes as a demon. Sometimes as the master. And other times as the servant. This world, my dear devotees, is a theater where we change into many, many roles. So then the text explains that when this soul goes through these different roles and he finally meets a true sadhu, a true devotee, a true saint, then he comes to understand his true identity as a pure soul and eternal servant of Krishna. And when he understands, my God, I'm eternal, I'm blissful, I'm full of knowledge, then he just doesn't want to be entangled or captured by Maya any longer. And then he sings, why have I served this illusion for so long? He feels sorry. And he sings, O Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Because I have left the shelter of your safe lotus feet, my life has become ruined. So then when Krishna hears, it is called Atma Krandan, the song of the soul, the song of the awakening soul. At that time, he sends his divine Shakti, his spiritual energy to that soul. And you know what this practically means? We were talking about chanting. When you chant in this spiritual space where you understand, I have gone through so many birth and death. Sometimes I was a king, then I was a slave, sometimes a singer, and then a laborer. Now I want reality. I want my spiritual life. When Krishna sees that you are chanting from this space, he all of a sudden sends his divine energy into you, and then your chanting gets life. The mantra is no longer just a word, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's actually Radha and Krishna. And when you chant this mantra, you have contact with Radha and Krishna. The mantra changes into the spiritual reality of the spiritual world. So I want to summarize. If you want to awaken from the material dream, you need to awaken your heart. And your heart can be awakened if you learn to chant the mantra. But please don't do it from your material identity, your material identification. Do it as a spiritual soul, and you will see tremendous results within 1 week or 2 weeks. You will not believe what you see. You will look like Madhavananda, who said, I don't believe it. I'm from Bavaria. As long as you think you're from Bavaria, it will not happen. But when you understand, I'm the eternal soul, and if you try to approach like this, this is what I do. Sometimes I forget because I'm not very advanced in spiritual life, but when I remember, and in Vrindavan I did it every day, I sit down, I have bathed myself, I've done my oil massage, I've done my yoga for half an hour, I've done my pranayama, my breathing meditation, and then I sit down, and then I do a simple meditation. I'm not what the world thinks I am. I'm not even what I think I am. I am an eternal, pure, perfect soul who has lost the connection for a moment in time, and I will now call out to Krishna. When I'm chanting from that place, Krishna sends this divine Shakti, and then the chanting becomes enlivened and ecstatic. Another process, the second process to open your heart for the adventure of divine love, is to enter the world of prayer. We have just had an amazing seminar in Govardhan. And we had one guest, his name was Revoye, in the seminar. Philip was also there. It was Krishna Lila Stava. And I remember, it was a seminar on learning how to combine meditation, prayer, and obeisances. It was very good seminar. And I remember I looked at the two, and after they had gone for 1 week through this practice of combining prayer, meditation, and obeisances, they were changed persons. In that seminar, we also had a yogi from the Himalayas. The yogi was dressed in red ochre. She reminded me a little bit of our Sasha, before Sasha came to Krishna consciousness. It was a yogini of the Swami Rama mission. Do you know Swami Rama from the Himalayas? Himalaya Institute. You've heard. A very good first class Swami. Very, very powerful yogi. And she was one of the leaders. But this is they have a path which is an impersonal path, a Mayavadi path. And it was a yogini, and she came to me after the first day of this seminar, and she said, "Swamiji, you're doing something to my heart." After 30 years of meditating in the Himalaya, I have seen what my heart really wants. I want the sweetness and the love of Krishna. She said like this. And she came to all the seminars. Then when she was finished, she said, "What should I do now?" And I said, "You are a yogini. You can do things very quickly. I would never tell someone so fast. But you should chant 16 rounds. You should eat one time a day, not more, and you should offer your food to Krishna, and you should see me after 4 days." And she came back and said, "I did everything. When can I get initiated?" I said, "Not so fast now." A very nice person, 62 years old, very, very special personality. And it is, what did she do? She engaged in this ancient form of Vandanam, it's called in Sanskrit. Vandanam is more than our Western prayers, you know, which we have learned from the Christian tradition, maybe. Vandanam means you speak some mantras and connect with Krishna. Then you meditate about Krishna. You bring him in your awareness, and then you also engage your body in bowing down. It's a very powerful process. I cannot teach it to you now, but I will give a seminar on this in Croatia also. I have many ideas. We want so much to develop our eco-village, and in that eco-village there will be a seminar hall, and then there will be many good spiritual trainings being given. Let me now summarize what I wanted to say this evening. I wanted to a little bit move you forward in your spiritual life by making you a little bit enthusiastic for an adventure. The adventure to exchange love, divine love, and feel divine love. The adventure to enter the river of divine love. And I wanted to give you two ways to do that. That is to chant the divine mantra, but not from the material identification, not from the material space of your consciousness, the spiritual space. There are mantras which you could learn, which can bring you quickly there. I don't know. Do we have the Gayatri book here? Maybe in Chivoye's library? Not sure. There is, if you are interested, you can ask me. There are mantras which can help you to quickly detach from the material identification. The mantra's translation goes a little bit like this. It says, finally I have understood that I'm an eternal soul. By the mercy of my spiritual teacher, my spiritual master, I can now engage in spiritual activities. That is a very simple translation. And then you just see if something in your consciousness appears which is an identification with the material world, then you quickly go back to the position of the soul. You just see something appears, but you move away from that. And you move towards your spiritual place and consciousness. You have to do it a few days to do this meditation, where you really gravitate towards the spiritual consciousness by just remembering, I'm in the heart space means here, situated in, I mean, you can go very detailed. I meditate that I'm situated in the five pranas, but that may be too complicated for you. It's also not necessary. I'm situated in the heart space. I'm here on the body of the vehicle of the body, and I'm now making contact. Thank you for coming. I wish you a wonderful evening, but please take some prasadam home. In the kitchen there is, for both of you. Please. Thank you for coming and playing so wonderful.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I have also come to the end. The second process was the process of prayer, where you can just learn in the beginning some simple prayers, and then later you come to my seminar and learn the meaning of Vandanam. Good. I am finished. But before I am finished, I must say I'm so happy to see all of you. I've thought about every one of you. I've thought about Lemo, and I was thinking, why is Lemo not here? He should be here. Then I thought about Sasha. Where is Sasha? But that was just out of affection, I thought like this. I knew there were reasons why you stayed here. I was not thinking, oh, what are they doing? No. I was thinking of Olya. How is Olya? And I'm so happy that you came this evening, Olya. I always feel great happiness when I see you. And I was thinking of Siamasaki. When will I see Siamasaki? Govindanandan and Sundarananda with his mysterious smile. I didn't dare to think if Igor would be able to come, but you came. Vedrane and all of you whose name I constantly forget. Constantly. One day I will learn. I'm now very, very, let me say, I finally today, by Govindanandan's and Audarya Chandika's mercy, found someone who could help, you know, put the energies in the body right. A very good healer, and I'm for the first time since 2 years seeing some light as far as my health situation is concerned. I had to go through some valley, and now it's clearing. And I'm now full of energy. I'm making long phone calls. Don't worry, I ask the people to phone me. Gadadhar just phoned me, and something so wonderful happened with our project in Berlin. And also in America, a rich person gives us, I still can't believe us. Do you know what is a convent? It's like a monastery. What would be the Croatian word? Convent is where monks would be trained, like 400 monks. In America we get such a place for our Vedic university. But I don't want to make the mistake to go to too much, to travel too much. Now my plan is to find a place and just write the courses down. So yeah. Thank you very much for being here. So that is also what you learn when you are so far away from, when you travel so much. You begin to understand in your life, I want to enter into meaningful relationships, and that's not possible if one is always so short at one place. You know, like I was moving like a lightning flash through America. Ooh, it was wild. We had a Japa retreat at a first class Delphi Center, it's called. It was a center built with crystals. There's such big crystals before the center. And it's like a universal church. And we had many people there for the retreats. It's near Atlanta, Georgia. Amazing place. Very mystic. In the Blue Ridge Mountains. But now I'm back in Croatia. I like it more. Krishna. Good, this is what I wanted to present to you. I hope it made sense what I said, because I'm a little bit jet-lagged. Can you see that? I'm not still here. I can see also our Bhanu Nandini. You have not really arrived. Gaurahari also looks like this. We are not yet totally here. And to tell you honestly, in one sense, I don't want to arrive here. That is, you know, I want to somehow stay in the consciousness of Vrindavan, and I want to pull all and invite all of you to come to that state of consciousness. My last day in Vrindavan, I went in the morning to the sacred river Jamuna, and it was still fog. I couldn't see further than maybe 5 meters. So I sat there, and I somehow went, I always like to be very close to the Jamuna. So I went, sat here, and the river was just flowing next to me, just here. Then I saw the water birds, Then I saw the yogis slowly, as the fog was disappearing, more and more colors and forms and everything arrived. And then finally the sun had burned away the fog. Then I sat at the banks of the Yamuna, looked to the other bank, the sand banks, the plants, the trees, the parrots, and I just felt, wow, this is so beautiful, and the atmosphere is so wonderful. You will see it in the photos. You will not believe it. It's so, we will all bring you on Saturday or Sunday, I don't know, we will bring you away from Zagreb into Vrindavan. That's our plan. Please be Krishna's guests for some time. All right, I have come to my end. And I must tell you a secret. Each one who comes from Vrindavan is extremely gladan. If you allow us, we will stop here and see if there is some prasadam. Lemo, we have something? Good, good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.